Exodus chapter 3. I think this is the last teaching on the hand of the Lord, but tonight we're going to learn some important things about the devil. I love to uncover the devil. I really, really do. Amen. Y'all, thank you for your enthusiasm. Y'all just as lively as me. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all the wonders which I do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Talk about Pharaoh. And I'm like, I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptian, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, you shall not go out empty. We already learned that the hand of the Lord, when the hand of the Lord is stretched out, two things happen. He gives favor to his righteous people, and he judges those who are adversaries to the kingdom. He smote Egypt with plagues, and he gave favor to his servants. Psalms 105, verse 37 and verse 38 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. When Egypt left, the Lord gave them restitution for 400 years that they had been in bondage to Israel, because the hand of the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Tonight, just turn the board off and put it back on the regular. You'll be okay, I think. It's already off. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I hope you can handle this tonight, because we're going to dig in something that you've never probably actually ever dealt with. And this is an opportunity for every one of us here to jump into overflow if you get what we're giving out tonight, what the Holy Spirit's talking about tonight. Amen. You can get back from the enemy many, many things that he has stolen from you tonight if you get a hold of this. Yes. Luke chapter 18, let's start with verse 1, and we'll read to verse 3, and then we'll get down to verse 8 before we over with. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Yes. Now, if you're writing your Bible, underline the words, avenge me of my adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said it within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now stop right here. When we hear something in the Word of God that says, like Jesus said, hear what the unjust is saying, unjust judge is saying, don't you think we ought to pay attention?
Amen.
We ought to pay attention.
Yes. Yes.
So let's pay attention to what verse 7 said. This is what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will do what? He will avenge them speedily. How many of you know that if you're a child of God, you are God's elect?
Yes, sir.
We're on the same side God's on, right?
Yes.
And the Bible said, the unjust just judge said, I will avenge them speedily. Now that's amazing words there, because most things in the Bible take time. God refers to seed. You put a seed in the ground. It has to grow. First it comes up. and it grows the ear. I mean, it grows the shaft, and it grows the, you know how corn grows, don't you? I don't right now, but I was going to tell you how it grew, and I'd get the wrong thing on the right thing. But a seed takes time. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You don't plant it today, and it comes up tomorrow. It takes a length of time. Most of the time in our lives, when God's doing something, it takes time. Here Jesus said, when it comes to this avenging, that He would do it speedily. He would do it in a hurry.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want something in a hurry. How many of you need something in a hurry?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. Now turn to Mark chapter 5.
Yes.
This is Bible study, so we're going to go through the Bible.
Amen.
The unjust judge said, I will avenge my elect speedily. And we're going to get into what it means to avenge something. Mark chapter 5. We've taught from the scriptures many, many times. Many of you have. And I want to show you something tonight that I have left out that's important when it comes to overflow, comes to being blessed of God. There's always levels. Thank God for that. There's always levels that we can move into in the things of God. We don't attain it all at once.
That's right.
Even we talking about meetings and revivals, and we talking about what's going on next week. And then we talk about what happened that Brother Jeff did and I have about what happened those 5 years. There's a greater level than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's levels that we've not obtained yet. And so we're that's the exciting thing about God.
Right. Yes.
There's always a new adventure.
Amen.
There's always something else.
Amen.
Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. There's always something out there to press through. And it's the same way when it comes to the Word of God. You can teach something for years and you can think about it. And this faith thing that I've taught, I've used this passage over the almost 30 years I've been preaching faith many, many times until I began to study about the hand of the Lord. I never saw this. And this enlighten you about some things.
Yes.
Look at verse 25. And a certain woman, say a certain woman.
Certain.
Which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. First, I want you to notice something in this passage about this woman. I want you to notice that she saw more than one physician. I want to establish something. She just didn't go to the one doctor. She went to many. The Bible says she went to many physicians. Second, she'd been going for 12 years. And the Bible says she spent all that she had. So I want to establish this something about this woman. This woman was not poor. Think about it. How many of you today can go to 12 different physicians? Of course, she spent all she had, but she had enough money to go to 12 physicians. I mean, for many physicians, for 12 years, she paid them. So she wasn't broke. Amen? Until she spent it all. So she was sick. And she was broke. See, we're always talking about the sick part. We never really focused in. This woman was sick, but she was broke and busted and disgusted. Look at verse 27. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and felt in her body that she was healed of what plague?
Yeah.
Of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saith thou, who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And that's where we close the Bible and we preach about faith. Thank God she was healed. That's a wonderful story about being healed. But here's the thing. She was healed, but she was broke.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
She was healed, but she was broke. See, here's the thing about God. You can have both. You can be healed and you can be blessed.
Yes.
Here was a healed, broke woman.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yes.
And most people tonight sitting here would be happy just to be healed. And I'm not belittling her healing. I'm not belittling what God did for her, but she was rich.
Yes.
She got sick. She went to many physicians, spent all, A-L-L, that she had. She was busted and broke.
Come on.
And she came to Jesus, and Jesus, see, her confession was, if I might touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. So she knew half truth. And so many of us know half truth. Wholeness is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking.
That's right.
But this woman, and there again, I don't want you to be upset with me. Hallelujah, she got her help. But she walked away broke. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. So many times we stop shy of God's best. Religion has kept us from desiring God's best. God wants us to have all.
Amen.
Say
A-L-L.
A-L-L. He wants us to have all the pie. He doesn't want us to have to cut it up in 20 slices.
Come on.
And just get a piece of it.
Hallelujah.
This woman didn't really know, or either, well, the Bible says we are destroyed by lack of knowledge. This woman was seeking her healing. She didn't seek her prosperity.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Let's hear what under our cut. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. How many of you know this is a revelation? Paul wrote these words.
Amen.
How many of you believe that Paul knew what he was talking about?
Amen.
Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament inside a prison. I think he knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
This is the evidence of our covenant. This is what our covenant is about. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, this is one of my favorite scriptures, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now this is God's best. All grace. All sufficiency. In all things. That means we don't have to settle to get healed and then be broke. Or we don't have to be blessed and be sick. God wants us to have all sufficiency in all things, unto every good work. Listen to what the Amplified Bible says. And God is able to make all grace, ever favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Amen.
See, that's our covenant. Now, I don't have time, but you just have to understand. When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus was operating actually under the old covenant. The church wasn't birthed to the day of Pentecost. His blood wasn't given for our covenant. He had not died so the new covenant could not be tested. You have to die for a covenant to be tested. So Jesus was actually operating under the old covenant. He was a shadow of things to come. So this woman, she had a covenant of healing. She had a covenant of prosperity. But it wasn't the best. It was a shadow. It was the things to come. And now here in 2 Corinthians, Jesus had died. He had arose. He risen for us. The Word of God has been brought forth. And another thing, this woman in Mark chapter 5 didn't have a Bible. We got a Bible which tells us the ways of God.
That's right.
Amen.
So this is what God wants. He doesn't want us to have part of the slice. He wants us to be efficient, sufficient in all things. All grace.
All
sufficiency.
Yes, sir.
In all things. See, this is what the teaching of the hand of the Lord is all about. When the hand of the Lord gets involved in your life, it's all sufficient. Anytime God touches you, man, things change. Can I hear amen?
Amen. Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Yeah, I was at a... I think, did I tell this Sunday morning about Ben's birthday party?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everybody heard me tell about that 96-year-old woman said the hand of the Lord is in the earth?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
There is no way earthly that woman could ever known that we had ventured out into this study. But God did, and God wanted me to know to tell you that the hand of the Lord was in the earth. And this is the time of all sufficiency in all things. But see, we've settled for such less. We got to be motivated. We must motivate ourselves to reach out. And that's what this meeting is about. To get God's best.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know, have you ever been somewhere you smelt something you smelt before?
Yeah.
And you knew, I smelt that before.
Yeah.
I smelt that before. Or you seen something you've seen before. We've been here before many years ago, 30 years ago. I can see it, smell it. It's ripe. Where this church is at, and I might be bragging about it, but it's taken work to get here. Faith gets us where we at. Preaching and teaching what we've been teaching, all of us preachers being together, the anointing of God gets us where we at. We're at a supernatural place where anything can happen. I just give you a word of wisdom. Don't look for the supernatural. Look for Jesus. Look for the Spirit of the Lord to get in the place. Because when the Spirit of the Lord gets in the place, you'll see the supernatural. We limit God by request. Because we won't request enough. We just look for Jesus.
Amen.
In this meeting.
Yes.
Then you'll see great things.
Yes.
But this is an all-sufficient, all-grace, and all-thing meeting.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
See, this woman didn't know to ask for restitution.
Yes.
She didn't know. What we read in Exodus, she should have, but she didn't ask. She asked for a healing. If I can just touch the garment, I know I'll be healed. And she said with her own mouth, when I touch the garment, I'll be healed, made whole, and my money's coming back to me.
That's right. Plus.
But religion's going to make you, ask for one, not both.
Come on, say it.
But I don't know about you. I'm tired of religion. I want everything. I want it all. If it's ready for me to have, why don't I get... freely gives us... What?
All things.
What? Just a few little tokens? So we'd be happy along our little journey? We'd be happy campers along the little journey? No, he wants us to be magnified. He wants God to be magnified in us. He wants, when the world looks at us, he wants the world to see God in us. And the world ain't going to see God in us if we're poor, broke, busted, disgusted, sick, doing all the things the world, griping, grumbling on Facebook, saying what you are and what you are. I mean, what you ain't instead of what you are. I am the blessed of God.
Hallelujah.
Or being on anything. No, God wants to reveal to the world himself in us. We're the only vehicle that God uses to show himself to the world.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm sure in Peter's time when Jesus talked about the rooster, the cock crowing, he couldn't find nobody else to crow. He had to pick a chicken. I don't want the Lord to pick chickens and donkeys.
That's right.
Miss Linda's got a couple of them out there. I might have to bring them in and speak to you. That's not God's best. Because most of us wouldn't believe if a donkey, Miss Linda went home tonight, she called me and said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. I walked on my property tonight, one of my little donkeys come up to me and told me, da 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 da. Okay, Miss Linda. You and Jeff in the same bottle or something tonight, I don't know. Is your head cocked or is it straight? God wants to use you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But the world will never see if we pick pieces of the pie, and we don't want God's best. And I'm sure this is my Wednesday night family. There's probably not a person here that would argue with me that we're not wanting God's best, because you people have been taught to expect God to give you the best, regardless. If I don't ever get it, I still expect it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now turn back with me to Luke chapter 18. Two different stories. Look at verse 3 again. Luke chapter 18. This woman in Luke chapter 13 had a revelation. She came to the unjust judge and asked the judge to avenge me of mine adversary. That's what verse 3 says. And there was a widow in the city. She came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. See, this woman, it wasn't just enough to get, you know, to have an adversary to leave her alone. She wanted the judge to do something about the adversary to make him pay for her discomfort.
That's right.
The Bible says in verse 1, there was a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. I want you to get a picture of this, because you're going to find out in the kingdom of God, we say it often, in the king, there is a difference between the kingdom and the church. The church is of the kingdom. The kingdom is not of the church. The kingdom was established by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the kingdom, there are laws and principles that govern the way things work.
Amen.
And they've already been settled in heaven. The Word of God is all what Brother Jeff said tonight. When it's all said and done, This is the principle of everything. When it's all said and done, the Word is the truth of all things.
Amen.
You judge everything by what's been settled in heaven. Thy Word has been settled in heaven. The King has spoken, and it cannot be reversed. This unjust judge that did not know God, he feared not man and he did not know God, but he did know the law. He knew what governed the law.
That's right.
See, in our nation, we're trying to get Supreme Court judges that will overlook their wants and their desires and interpret the Constitution in light of the law. What does it say? That's what it says.
Man.
See, this unjust judge, even though he's unjust and feared no man, he knew that when this woman said, "Avenge my adversary," he knew that this woman knew her rights and he knew the law, and so he had to avenge her adversary.
That's right.
Man.
And that's what I want to establish in your heart tonight when we begin to talk about restitution from the devil is that's a law. That's not something we're trying to conjure up because maybe we, Pastor Mike, just found this and kind of want to, you know, get us excited about it. No, it's a kingdom law. And we're going to study more about it. That when you catch a thief, if you catch him, he has to pay back sevenfold.
That's right.
It's a law. And just because we don't know it, that doesn't mean it's not so.
That's right.
I thank God for new revelation. Do you know how boring it is to study God's Word, even though it's quick and powerful and sharp and two-edged sword, to study and look at the Word of God and never see anything different about it? Never see anything any more about it? You teach the same old thing, You teach the same thing all the time with no revelation. Thank God when God gives revelation.
Amen.
When you find out there's a law that governs things.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank
you, Lord. You know, there was a time on earth that we wouldn't have believed that a man be getting on the moon, but he did.
Yes,
he did. I don't care how much you didn't believe it. Kennedy? Who said we're going to put a man on the moon? Who? Hallelujah! I actually know a little bit there. I'm sure people laugh. But they got on the moon, regardless of the people that didn't believe it. They knew the laws. The govern, the thrust and the amount of thrust and how much it would take. And they put a man. Of course, they still got a conspiracy thought that, you know, that was all made up in some Hollywood. Did anybody ever saw that? Did anybody ever see that where they thought they still saying that we never got to the moon? It was in Hollywood somewhere. You got that kind of people. You got Christians that, I don't care what you show them in the Word of God. It ain't possible. Fooey on you. When you find a law that governs the Word of God, it's more settled than any law there is. And here Jesus is saying to us, listen to what this unjust judge says to this woman. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. God, I pray we would get a hold of this because some of us have treasures that are in the hands of the devil. That we need to get. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
Yes. That's us.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is saying, God's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
Glory to God.
He's going to avenge that adversary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
See, the Verse 4 and 5 said, and the unjust judge said, and he would not for a while, even though I guess he knew it, but he wasn't going to avenge it. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
Yes.
See, here's the thing. This woman knew her rights. That's what I want to say. This woman knew what was owed to her. Somehow, some way, this woman had revelations of her rights. Oh God, if we as people of God could get a revelation of our spiritual rights.
Hallelujah.
That we have the right to be healed.
Right.
Sealed by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
We have the right to walk in blessings.
Yeah.
Because our covenant is a covenant of blessing. That is our right.
Yes.
Many of us would fight for our rights.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
In the natural. Right?
Yes.
You know you have rights. You know you have rights. If you got a driver's license, you have the right to drive.
That's right.
If you're a registered voter, you have the right to vote. When you get 65... if you need it and you've paid in Social Security, you can do it at 62. But if you wait to 65, you have the right to get what's owed to you.
Amen.
That's right.
And if you don't get what's owed to you, you will raise the Cain and a little bit of Abel with it. But as far as a Christian, a child of the kingdom of God, we know so little about our covenant rights.
Amen.
Even the unjust judge who feared not man or regarded God at all had to give this woman her rights.
Yep.
He had to avenge her adversary because that was the law.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You'll shout when you understand what avenge is. In the literal Greek, the phrase avenge my adversaries implies that she was not asking for a legal solution only, but also an immediate cease of actions from the adversary. And there's a little bit more, but I will stop right there because most people, when we think about the devil in our lives, most of us plead our case with God. All we ask God to do is stop him. Stop the devil. Lord, help me. The devil's after my family. The devil's after this. And we're happy just to ask for that. But that's not avenging the adversary. When God hears us say, avenge my adversary, God does not only bring deliverance, but he brings about restitution. See, in the Greek, when you avenge your adversary, you not only stop the adversary, but he has to pay for your discomfort.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's what he did with Israel when they went out. They had to pay them. They went out with silver and gold. Not a feeble one was among them. They've been in captive by Pharaoh for 400 years. So Israel spoiled the Egyptians and took from them. 400 years of restitution.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
But how many, because of lack of knowledge, most of us are just happy if the devil will leave us alone. But I tell you what.
That's right. Rise up.
So that woman told me the hand of the Lord was in the earth. That fired me up.
Yes, sir.
I'm already releasing the hand of the Lord like they did in the Acts chapter 4. When they prayed for the hand of the Lord to be extended. And signs and wonders be done by the Holy Child Jesus.
Yes.
Sounds like a Catholic. Holy Child Jesus. That's what it said. The Holy Child Jesus. I'm praying a different way. Lord, get your hand involved in my life. Get your hand involved in the church. I want what's owed to me. What's been stolen from me. Hey. Amen. Now let me give you, suppose you were stopped at a stop sign.
Yes.
Somebody rams you in the back end. Just tears your car all to pieces.
Uh-huh.
And you get out. and you just drop your head and you go to that car and says, "Sir, all I want you to do is admit that you hit me in the back. And if you admit that you hit me in the back and it was your fault, we'll call it even." Now, how many would do that? What would your thoughts be? Somebody's going to pay for this. Me and Penny was on a road in Alabama. Wonder we didn't get killed because it totaled our car. We stopped at a stop sign. It was a hill and it was raining and the car flying over the hill just couldn't stop. We heard him coming. And he came down and just totaled our what kind of car was that?
Lincoln.
Totaled it. One whap, bam, in the back. And we being faith people, I mean, you know, we didn't have no blood. And we said, the law come, of course, and everything. And took the guy's number and wanted to know if we wanted an ambulance and this, that, and another. No, we're okay. We're faith people. So when it's all said and done, about 3 days later, you know, we had whiplash. I mean, man, you talking about feel like you've been in a wreck. We couldn't even walk. No, we like Jerry. Well, after all that, they sent an adjuster out and sent this woman out to give me a check for my car. And when she gave me a check for my car, I put three of those rubber things on my car. And they're $1,500 per tire. And I just got them things put on there and they blew them all out. And when she gave, she said, "That's what I'm going to give you for this car." And I looked at it and, man, I lost money. That was a beautiful car. I minded my own business and somebody hit me in the back and I lose money on the car. Don't make sense, right?
Right.
You know? And I'm a preacher. I got to be kind of nice. And it wasn't the woman's fault. So what the company does. But anyway, let me tell you something. She felt sorry for me. She come back a week later and gave me another check. But it still didn't come up to what? And she told me, if you had been hurt, you would have got a lot more money. Could have got on the insurance part of it, the hurt part. I said, "I tell you what," I just was joking because I wouldn't do that. I said, "Next time somebody just barely touches my car, I'm going to open the door, fall out on the side, and I'm going to lay there until an ambulance comes and gets me. You won't never cheat me on my car no more." You'll be the same way. You want what it's worth, don't you? Minding your own business. How many times the devil done come and you were minding your own business and he come and stole something from you? He needs to pay. Come home and you be blessed with a new couch. You get home and your blessed, beautiful dog has ate your couch up. The devil got in that dog. Somebody needs to pay for that. Your dog can't, but the devil can.
That's right.
How many of you worked so hard all week long, you get your paycheck, get home, and the school done decided to charge you $400 for your child being banned?
Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, somebody said that wasn't the devil, but I mean to tell you, greed. Take your hard-earned money. He does it all the time and we just roll over and play dead. But we wouldn't if somebody hit us in the back and we went to court. We'd argue our case because there's laws that somebody has to pay restitution if they get into your life and destroy your property. You let somebody come and bust all these windows out, they're going to pay. If I catch them, they're going to pay on the parking lot. We get a check. We got it this month. We get a check every month from one of my people I had living with me that got my keys and came in here and stole our camera equipment. We've been getting a check every month for $85 because guess what? They caught him.
Yeah.
And he has to pay what?
Restitution.
Till he pays, he got about $2,700 more dollars. He's going to be paying a while till he pays all. And now here's the thing. I never went to court. I never knew that they caught him. Some judge, whether he was unfair or unjust, he knew the law. That this guy, if he gets out and goes on parole, he has to pay restitution. It's a law. That when you catch, turn with me to Proverbs. Let's look at that again. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's just look at the word. Believe it for the word's sake. Proverbs chapter 6. Is that it? Verse 30? 31? Hallelujah. Look at verse 30. Man do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul with when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. If you catch him. If he gets caught. Well, the only way you're going to catch him is know he stole from you. You can't do anything about people when you don't know it's been stolen. I go to somebody breaks in my house. I go in a special place, wherever it may be, and they get my stuff out, and I don't check it for months and months, even though it ain't there. I ain't going to press no charges. I ain't going to catch him because I don't know it's been stolen. Most people of God do not recognize when they get stolen from. Most of us, the first thing said, I deserve it. I knew better. And most of the time, you do. But there are times in your life that you've been stolen from the enemy.
Amen.
See, my daddy was stolen. I still got things out in the earth that my daddy did not receive for all the work he did. Because he was unknowledgeable, or either the enemy fought him the whole way. He didn't believe in prosperity, much less restitution. But I do.
Right.
I'm his offspring.
That's right.
I'm getting the hand of God into Uncle Wayman's. You served in that ministry. You got a lot of seeds in that ministry. We left that ministry. We left all our seed and our plants in that ministry. 30-something years. We did everything in that ministry.
Right.
You think, look, y'all got it made, man. I'm telling you. We did everything. We didn't hire no company to cut grass. Dear God, we cut it every week. We didn't hire no paint company. We rolled our sleeves up. We learned to paint when we was young. Now, I'm preaching to you now, ain't I? Some of you don't know how to clean a commode, much less paint. We did all the cleaning, the fixing, the wiring, the painting, the plumbing. We didn't know no better. We got seeds in that place, and we walked away from that because the devil got in the middle of it. So I'm putting a demand on it to get my harvest. I got 30 years of harvest. That's where your overflow is. A lot of you get God involved in your restitution plan, you'd be rich overnight. That is, if you know he stole from you. Some of it you gave to him. Come home. You need to work. Your child's laying there with a fever, sickness, and disease. You have to be out of work a week. See, they pay you to be out of work now. I'm not arguing about it. But when I work, you out, you get paid.
That's right.
Lost wages. God, there's so much out there, folk.
Yes.
People doing you wrong, robbing from you. We built this building. We got robbed in some ways. I'm asking God to restore it. Restitution for it. That's why we get hot in here. Ain't enough air conditioning in this building. Can you imagine? Spending all the money we did. They forgot to calculate these lights. Isn't that amazing? You pay all good money to get something done you think you get done. Anybody ever did that? You pay this big old amount of money and you get through and you look around and say, man, you, what? They lied to you or they just missed something. The devil stole it. I'm going to get mine back. He's going to pay me. Or I'm going to trouble him. There's a lot of people in churches that don't even still don't expect to get a return on their giving. They are. When you tell people Luke 6:38, give it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they jump on you. You mean you expect God to give you something because you gave? It's a law. Of course I expect it because He said give. He said it. Give and what?
It shall be.
Given unto me, good measure, pressed in, down, shaken together. There's still people sitting in pews that will argue you over that and say you ought not expect God to bless you. But it's in the Word of God. Same way it'll be with this teaching. A lot of you will not ever ask God to avenge you of your adversary. You'll let him steal from you. You'll let the rest of your life because you just don't want to believe God's Word. Thank you for that quietness.
Amen.
I remember when before I really got baptized with the Holy Ghost, I was scared of the Holy Ghost more than I was Frankenstein. Me and Brother Jeff, the Lord started moving the church, you see us. We like some of these people sitting here. They in and out that door 50,000 times a night. Y'all just scared of the move of God. It's amazing to me, and I'm going to set it straight. I'm talking to the wrong crowd right here, but I'm going to say it anyway so the devil knows it.
Yeah.
There ain't going to be no moving around all next week when God, we want you to pray for people at the altar. All these kids going back and forth like they've got a urinal problems. Go to the doctor. Get your urinal problems worked on. We start praying and prophesying, that door swings open every 3 minutes. My goodness, respect God's moving in the church. Well, me and Brother Jeff wasn't right when we were scared. It wasn't that we just believe it. We was afraid it's going to get on us and show how bad we were. You talking about that tent meeting, that man right there? Brother Wall, I seen him get up and tell people they were going with women in the church. Setting the man and the woman in the church. He'd get up and say, thus saith the Lord, you're going with the woman in the church. They get up and run out. I had a woman do that to me one time. I was just sitting there talking about something. A woman jumped up and came to the front row and said, who told you I did that? And ran outside the church. Now, right, ain't it? Jesus hollered at me. Right back. Who told you all that? Nobody. The Holy Ghost did. That's why me and Brother Jeff got up and moved around. But hallelujah, we're sitting on the front row now. We're moving in. We're not moving out. But I didn't believe in it. I couldn't get it. I couldn't receive it. I didn't have no presence in my life because I was afraid of it and I didn't believe it. Same way about when you get a revelation from God. You can either use it in your life or you can just throw it in a trash can. But you study it for yourself. Study it for yourself. But understand this. There's never been anybody more effective in people's lives more effective than Jesus is the devil. In most cases, the devil gets more glory in people's lives than Jesus will ever get. You have Wednesday night testimony service and you see what happens. 95% of people can get up and say what the devil did for them that week. They won't say what God did for them that week. Oh, it's a hard journey. You know what the devil did for me this week? It's a very important revelation when you find out where to put that enemy. His number one job, John 10:10 says, his only job is to kill, steal, 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 and destroy. He can never bless you. He can empower you. To do crazy stuff, empower you to steal, get by with it, gain a little substance. We need to know what to do with the devil. We don't just need to put him in his place. We need to make him pay for our discomfort in life. If it's available, if the Word of God says we can have it, how many want it?
Hallelujah.
Avenge my adversary. You need to pray that way at home. You need to get you a piece of paper and put down. I don't want to see it, but write your own paper and put down what you think the devil stole from you. I don't care if you give it to him or not. Put it on the paper. You only get back what he stole. God, he stole part of your life. Owes you big time. Stole your good credit. Dirty dog. Like to stole your wife. Look at you now. Like to stole your life. Time to get some of that back.
Amen.
Time to get some of that back. Isaiah says this, "The hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies." Proverbs 11:31 says, "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." You know what recompense is? It means to be payback. The righteous shall be recompensed. Write it down. It's in the Bible. Proverbs 11:31. In the earth. Not in heaven. Payday. People just waiting for heaven for payday. We don't sing that song no more, but we live that song. Won't it be wonderful there? We sing a song. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Doorbells are ringing. My heart's a singing. Won't it be wonderful there? Well, it can be wonderful here.
That's right.
We grew up in that. Pie. Take a piece of the pie. You can't have it all. That's what I like about this church. We just crazy enough to believe it all. I am. You got a pastor that don't know it all, but I'm believing it all. And I love to see the Lord mess up my theology. I love it. I love it. He does it every time move of God comes. He blesses people, I think, all night. Get blessed. Y'all being quiet. Prophet comes in, somebody ain't paid the tithes in 20 years. He goes up and says, "The Lord said." He's going to bless you. And I'm sitting over there. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. 2 weeks later, they came in. I got a new car this week. I don't know how that works. But anyway, it works. Leave it alone.
That's right.
Leave it alone. He'll mess you up.
That's right.
He'll mess you up. Proverbs 11:31. I'm going to read again. "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." Not in heaven. Now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get you a piece of paper when you go home. Get you some homework in your time if you can. Might make you fight mad when you realize what really has been stolen from your life. And when you do, you stand with me. You say this back to God. I'm gonna write. You can get this off a CD or write it while I'm saying it. Stand up with me. Time ago. Time flies, don't it, this place? We need to speed the tape up. It's Sunday already. It's going to be a sacrifice. Services may be long, may be short. There may be some preaching, they may not. One week ain't going to kill you. Don't miss a thing. Please do all you can to be in the house of God. I don't have much patience, and I don't say nothing. I don't beat people overhead. But I've left church many. We got some people here. Brother George came in after working all night Saturday night. Came to church on Sunday. I applaud for him. Amen. Me and Brother Jeff did that for years. We'd leave. We'd have Sunday morning, Sunday night. Go to work on Sunday night. We'd leave church, go out and eat, and go to work all day Sunday in church. Work all night and wonder how in the world we got home. I had to drive from Griffin to Fayetteville. I don't know how in the world I drove home. Some days I didn't remember driving home, but I did it. I didn't miss my church. It's paid off. A faithful man abounds in the blessings of God. I told all the preachers, we got in-house preachers. We got two outsiders. But most of the preaching is going to be done with people who have been here from all this preaching about breakthrough, and I put the demand on them. If you can't, you ain't got no spirit in you, you better not get up.
Amen. Right.
You better get up with boldness.
Right.
Be like my daddy. You need to sit down. I'm going to preach.
Amen.
I'm going to start off Sunday night. Sunday morning. Brother Jeff's got Sunday night. Pam's got Monday night. Jerry's got Tuesday night. Wednesday night's unsettled. I was gonna speak Wednesday night, but I'm gonna wind it up on the last night.
Amen.
I think I need to wind the whole thing up.
Yes,
Thursday, Brother Willie. Friday's me. Wednesday's kind of open right now. I'm working on something. But every one of these people are pressing in and believing God for your breakthrough. You're going to see a lot of tears next week. You're going to see a lot of joy next week. You're going to see dancing. And if you know, it is if we enter in. We need to have, when worship starts, we need to have a few folk down here just dancing.
Come on.
Like them rock concerts.
Come on.
You be down here worshiping the Lord. Don't stand back with your hand folded next week now. Don't miss it. It's a season. It's a season. The season. Say this after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I receive your word.
I receive your word.
I am a doer of the word.
I am a doer of the
and
word.
Not a hearer only.
Not a hearer only.
I fully intend to put this word to work. In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm coming to you as the judge of all the earth.
I'm asking you,
based on the story that Jesus told,
avenge my adversary.
Stop his attacks.
And make him pay.
I want him to stop.
And pay me back.
No less than sevenfold.
Now go, devil.
And get busy.
In Jesus' name.
Write that down and pray it every day.
Hallelujah.
Avenge my adversaries.
Hallelujah.
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 Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank